I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the National Hockey League. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get podcasts. In today's episode, we're going to recap the first game of the National Hockey League semifinals. Take a look at the free agent goaltenders before what should be a summer with lots of movement in the crease. Then, the Montreal Canadiens and Vegas Golden Knights dropped the puck on their semifinal series on Monday. First, Carolina Hurricanes have allowed pending unrestricted free agent defenseman Dougie Hamilton to talk to other teams. And I think it would be one thing to say, well, they're just going to let him see what the marketplace will offer and whether they can get something in return for trading his rights, and maybe those are possibilities. I think the bigger issue here is that this probably means Dougie Hamilton is not going to be in Carolina next season. And I know how they operate in Carolina, and the expectation, I guess, is that they stay within a fairly tight budget. And Hamilton is probably the kind of player who could break that budget, given his production and performance over the past few seasons. So the real challenge here is going to be whether the Hurricanes can find someone to replace Hamilton's production. I mean, you're not likely to find somebody who's going to have equivalent impact, because those guys tend not to be available very often, but Hamilton has dominant play driving numbers and has for almost his entire career, and he also, you know, generates shots at a really high level, and it's going to be tough for the. It's not just as simple as, well, we'll give somebody else these minutes beside Jacob Slavin and that's going to make everything all right. It's going to be more complex than that for Carolina, and maybe they have some options that they think they can trade for that, you know, maybe aren't going to be as expensive as Dougie Hamilton. But you know, you're looking at a defenseman who has scored in double digits for seven straight seasons, double digit goals, and just I think Hamilton, on one hand, stats people like myself are going to rave about Dougie Hamilton being one of the top few defensemen in the league, and really the Norris Trophy voting hasn't caught up to that opinion. He finished seventh in last year's Norris Trophy voting, and that's the highest that he's been, which is kind of criminal given the overall results. But I think it's going to be difficult for the Hurricanes, and this is a team that prides itself on evaluating players, and maybe the Hurricanes are evaluating the current state of Dougie Hamilton at the right value, but they aren't prepared to do it on, you know, a 7 or 8 year contract, and maybe that's the sticking point for them as an organization, because I think when it comes to the marketplace, I think Dougie Hamilton is going to have a bunch of suitors, there is going to be a pretty big hole left in Carolina. Now, you can also look at Carolina's defense and say, well, if you weren't spending over $4 million a year on Jake Gardner, who's sitting in the press box, and $5.25 million on Brady Shea, who's playing for you, but, you know, not necessarily giving you great results, then maybe you have a little bit more money to spend on the likes of Dougie Hamilton. So these are always issues that crop up, is when a team decides they have to draw a line in the sand with a top player. Sometimes it's the other contracts that are the ones that force those decisions. So we will see how Carolina is going to address this, but I think by giving Dougie Hamilton the go-ahead to talk to other teams, I think we're looking at the departure of Dougie Hamilton from Carolina, and that's going to cause the Hurricanes to take a step back unless they have a really great backup plan ready to go. So let's take a look at Sunday's game. We got New York Islanders opening their series with a 2-1 win against Tampa Bay. Semyon Varlamov stopped 30 of 31 shots for the Islanders. For Tampa Bay, Andrei Vasilevsky stopped 29 of 31 shots. And it'd be hard to complain about the goaltending. At the same time, the Islanders' second goal was a point shot from Ryan Pulock that I have to assume Andrei Vasilevskiy would like to have back. It was pretty clear. There were no great screens or tips or anything like that, and it just managed to beat Vasilevskiy from that distance. So, these are two of the top goaltenders right now. So you may be looking at a lot of low-scoring games. Right now, there are seven goaltenders that have a save percentage of at least 930 in the playoffs with at least five games played. Four of them are still alive in the semifinals. The starting goaltender in the semifinals with the lowest save percentage is Marc-Andre Fleury of Vegas, who's his 923. It's not as though he's had some embarrassingly poor playoff. He's been good. But all the rest, and that includes Ilya Sorokin for the handful of games that he's played for the Islanders, they're all up at 930 or higher. So Matthew Barzal continued his hot streak for the Islanders, scoring a goal. Braden Point continued to produce for Tampa Bay. He scored their lone goal. Tampa Bay right winger Nikita Kucherov had team worst Corsi of 40.9%. He was on the ice for both goals against. Now, he also drew the power play that Tampa Bay used to score in the final minute. But they could not get the equalizer. Islanders defenseman Ryan Pulock, as I said, scored the game-winning goal. Also had team best 65.2% Corsi and on the ice for both Islanders goals. And so this is the Islanders doing what they've done in the playoffs so far, is that they grind teams down and grind teams down, and they're getting timely scoring. But I don't think that you can just count on timely scoring. What they've also had throughout the playoffs is they've had depth of scoring. And so when Barzal is going, that's great, and you need your number one center to produce. But you also need others in the lineup, and whether it's been Josh Bailey or Brock Nelson or Kyle Palmieri or Anthony Beauvillier, they've had a variety of other forwards who have stepped up to contribute offensively, and getting a goal from Ryan Pulock, the defenseman, that helps too. And so if they're going to upset Tampa Bay in this series, the Islanders probably have to continue to play in this fashion, grind them down. And this doesn't mean that they kind of just sit back and wait. But I think that they're prepared to counterattack and always make sure that they don't let Tampa Bay counterattack, because the last thing you want is to turn guys like Point and Kucherov and Stamkos loose in open ice. And that has been the playoff method for the Islanders, and it's been working. And we'll see whether or not Tampa Bay can rebound in game two. It's not as though they were embarrassed in game one, but given that they're the fairly heavy favorites going into the series, they certainly wouldn't want to fall down two games to none at home before heading to the island. So when we come back, we will look at free agent goaltenders this summer, and there should be a pretty decent shakeup at the position, and things could look different in time for next season. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card. If you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has given away more than $3 million to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. When you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. So let's take a look at the free agent goaltenders for this offseason. And, you know, there's probably going to be some significant movement. So first up, we've got Philip Grubauer, Colorado Avalanche. His cap hit this past year was $3,333,333. He's due for a raise. He's coming off a season in which he was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy. I would not have made him a finalist for the Vezina Trophy, but it was a strong season. And I think you don't have to agree with his making it as a finalist for the Vezina to say that, yes, Philip Grubauer is worth being in demand as a goaltender. I mean, he almost every year will turn in above average results. It's just been a matter of handling playing time. And I think over the past two seasons, you know, he's started 75 games over the past 2 years for Colorado. And I think at that point, particularly this year when they didn't have Pavel Francouz and they really had to lean on him, that Grubauer has earned himself the place, I guess, as a top free agent goaltender. And I think if you're the Avalanche, you certainly want to pay him and keep him around. At the same time, if the price gets kind of out of control, you could see the Avalanche. I mean, if they're comfortable that Francouz will be healthy next year, that they might consider, you know, grabbing another veteran goaltender who can just make them competitive. Because, you know, when you're in the situation of Colorado where you have so much elite talent, hard choices are going to have to be made. And so Grubauer kind of finds himself in a really interesting spot where, you know, he could sign up long term with a Colorado team that should be contenders for years to come, or he may just go somewhere where a team is willing to pay him top dollar because his track record sort of deserves it. So we'll see how that plays, but it'll be a big decision for Grubauer, and it will probably have a domino effect in several directions, to be honest. Boston's Tuukka Rask had a $7 million cap hit on his most recent contract. And Rask didn't play great this season. He was pretty solid in the playoffs, particularly for somebody who was playing with a torn labrum in his hip. But as he, you know, now that he's 34 years old, it's not quite as easy to count on Rask giving you outstanding numbers. Now, I mean, he was a runner-up for the Vezina Trophy just last season, so it's not as though he's you know, fallen off a cliff. But if you look at his career numbers, they were better, you know, in his sort of before he turned 30, as opposed to since. And really, the question here for Rask is whether he's going to go back to Boston or not. And maybe that's the easiest thing, is that Boston, knowing that Rask is going to have surgery and he's not going to be ready for the start of next season, they sign him to a deal to keep him around for one more year, and with the expectation that you know, Jeremy Swayman maybe will play a bunch, and they'll see how things go with him. But the Tuukka Rask situation seems very much, you know, tied to whether or not the Bruins are prepared to keep him around longer. If they are, then there should be able to be something that they can work out. But I also think that, you know, Rask, if he decided to just open it up and go anywhere, that yes, there would be several teams who would be happy to take him on as their starting goaltender, even if he's not going to be ready to start next season because of the surgery. But so Peter Mrazek does look like he's going to be leaving Carolina as well. Given how well Alex Nedeljkovic played this year in Mrazek's absence, that probably creates an opportunity here for a team who's looking for a starting goaltender. Now it's a starting goaltender who has had ups and downs throughout his career. I think in general, Mrazek is probably average-ish as a starting goaltender, and maybe that's good enough. But it's also, you know, maybe it's not going to create a huge demand in the marketplace either, given that, you know, he's coming off a season in which he was injured for the most part. Now, he played really well in the you know, dozen or so games that he played for Carolina during the regular season. But as I said, there have been ups and downs throughout his career. And I think any of the teams that go looking to sign Peter Mrazek aren't going to be too anxious to sign him up for a really long term. I could see, you know, a 3-year deal being something that more teams would find appealing than something longer. And then how about Florida's Chris Driedger, who played in a career high 23 games this season, but has shown enough in a couple of seasons with Florida now that he should be in pretty big demand as a free agent. He's 27 years old, and in 35 games with Florida over the past couple of years, he has a .931 save percentage. Well, it's a very small sample of games, and you don't want to necessarily put too much on that. I mean, if you're a team who thinks that, yes, Chris Driedger is going to be your answer as your number one goaltender, well, how much are you going to be prepared to commit to that based on, you know, 34 starts and 35 appearances with the Florida Panthers over the past 2 years? And certainly the numbers are really good, and Driedger's played really well in those games. But I would say there has to be at least be some uncertainty about that, given his limited track record in the National Hockey League. And then we move on to the likes of, say, Frederik Andersen from Toronto, coming off a season in which injuries kind of cost him the starting job, but his performance also kind of cost him that job. And he had been an above-average goaltender for pretty much the bulk of his career. And then the past two seasons, his you know, he fell a little below average in 2019-2020, and then had a not so great play-in round against Columbus. And then this past season, before getting hurt, Andersen really struggled. And you know, if you're a team who's looking to make changes in goal, a 31-year-old who's had, you know, one down season might be worth an interest. And then you probably can get Andersen at a reasonable price if you're offering a real chance to play. And so I think he becomes one of the more interesting decisions for teams. I think you wouldn't want to pin all your free agent goaltending hopes on Frederik Andersen, but if you already have a goaltender in place and maybe you need a 1B as your starter, you know, Frederik Andersen might be a guy. If you're a team that needs two goaltenders, having Chris Driedger and Frederik Andersen might have some value for you. How about Buffalo's Linus Ullmark? You know, and it kind of gets overlooked because everything was a disaster in Buffalo this year, and Ullmark missed time with injuries. But in general, in the 20 games that he started for the Sabres, he played pretty well. I suppose that's good timing if you're hitting free agency and you at least played well when your team didn't. I guess the question is, are the Sabres interested at all in bringing Ullmark back, or are they going to go in a completely different direction in goal? And if you're Ullmark, you know, do you want to, you know, sign up to just continue on with the Sabres, or are you looking for an opportunity with a team that will have a better chance to win? And now, I don't know that there are winning teams out there who are going to be prepared to give Ullmark the starting job, but there might be winning teams out there that are looking for, you know, the second half of their tandem, and that could be the opportunity for Ullmark to, you know, to play on a better team immediately. Boston's Yaroslav Halak probably still going to have some demand in the marketplace, even though he's 36 years old, and you know, maybe wasn't as effective this season as he's been for you know, the past 10-12 years, but he also wasn't disastrous and terrible. And I think, given his track record prior to this season, that there should be plenty of teams who will be interested in Halak as a backup, because he's basically been an overqualified backup for Boston for the past few years, and he seems to have handled the role really well, and that's you know, if you're a team that has a younger starter and you want kind of a steady hand as a guy who if you need him to start games you know, if he needs to step in, not only just for an injury, but okay, the starter's really having a tough spell. We need our backup to be able to handle multiple starts in a row. You know, you would probably feel okay giving Rask or Halak that opportunity. How about Arizona's Antti Raanta? Raanta is a pretty good goaltender, but he cannot stay healthy. And this past season, he only managed to play 12 games. And, you know, his numbers weren't great in those 12 games, but it's such a small sample. Over the course of his career, he has a .919 save percentage. And but I don't think, given his health, he's played more than 40 games once in his career. And so that kind of limits the upside to Antti Raanta as a free agent acquisition. There's value there. And really, I think if you're a team, and this might put him in the same boat as Halak, is that if you're a team that has a younger starter and you want a guy who can be a pretty reliable veteran backup, I think Raanta, that's probably where he's going to fall in right now, because you just can't, you know, he's 32 years old, and we haven't seen a point where he's been able to handle an extended workload as the starter. So I don't think it's particularly safe for any team to think of him in that way going into next season. Then back to Carolina for James Reimer, who has obviously split a bunch of time with Mrazek in the past couple of seasons in Carolina, but also with Alex Nedeljkovic there this year while Mrazek was out. And it's not as though Reimer had a great season. It was fairly, you know, mediocre. But if you're looking at a guy who is a nice tandem goaltender, you know, at this stage of his career, he's 33 years old. He's probably not set to be the number one guy, but on a good team, if he's your number two goaltender, you're probably going to be pretty happy with what you've got. Who else do we have? Jonathan Bernier from Detroit. Now, Bernier ends up probably having to make a similar decision to Linus Ullmark. Does Bernier want to hang around in Detroit and for a few more years of rebuilding? Because it doesn't appear as though the Red Wings are going to suddenly be contenders next year. And, you know, when you're Jonathan Bernier and you're 32 years old, I think you'll be 33 before next season. You know, if you sign in for a few more years in Detroit, you may not have great opportunities to win over those few seasons. Now, Bernier played pretty well in a role this year where he was splitting time with Thomas Greiss. But, you know, there have been kind of some ups and downs over the course of his career. And I think at this stage, you'd probably say he's a pretty good backup. Or a 1B if you really want to kind of be optimistic about what he could give you, but we'll have to see whether or not Bernier is willing to move on and find himself a spot with a contender. Edmonton's Mike Smith is an interesting one, which I'm not sure I would have expected for a guy who's 39 years old, but he had a great season in Edmonton, and there's no denying that. Like, that's probably the second best season of his career, and so because of that, you have to assume that there's going to be some spot for him in the National Hockey League next year. But if he had not had a good season in 2021, it quite easily could have been the end of the line for Mike Smith. You know, given that he's 39 years old, there are not a whole lot of goalies who go longer than that. And so for Mike Smith, I think he's probably not in at the stage of his career where he should be starting and handling a heavy starter's workload for the most part. But if you're a team that is running a tandem in net, maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable with Smith, and he's probably going to warrant some interest based on how well he played this year. Now, a couple of older guys who I don't quite know. I mean, they're sort of in the same boat as Tuukka Rask, where, like, Pekka Rinne in Nashville had a $5 million cap hit on his past contract, and I think the expectation is that either Rinne re-signs to stay in Nashville or he'll retire, and that's probably about the right expectation for him. And Rinne has, you know, basically been a legend for that franchise. He's been their starting goaltender for, you know, 12 years, and is sort of sliding into that backup role behind UC Saros now, and you could do totally fine with Rene at a reasonable price in the backup role to Saros. But you know, again, this is a guy who's in his late 30s. He'll be 39 in November, and so if he's you know, not going to come back, well, then that creates an opening in Nashville. But I wouldn't expect that Pekka Rinne, and just like Tuukka Rask, I wouldn't expect that they're going to kind of open themselves up to the marketplace to just go anywhere. How about Washington's Henrik Lundqvist? And I mean, this is a real wild card of a situation, since Lundqvist missed last season after heart surgery. But you know, he's been on the ice and practiced in the aftermath of that heart surgery, and so you don't know what his expectation is going forward. Now, if I'm a team, I would generally look at a 39-year-old who missed a season after requiring heart surgery, and I'd probably just avoid him. But you never know. There might be a team who, you know, can get, you know, Lundqvist gets clearance from the doctors, and there might be somebody who's willing to give him a shot. You know, given his track record, he had, you know, was an elite goaltender for a long time with the Rangers, and so there may be some interest there as well. And then we get into guys who are really going to be kind of on the fringe of the free agent market, guys who might be in line for backup jobs, but maybe not the top end backup jobs either, like Laurent Brossoit for Winnipeg. Was really good this season for Winnipeg, but he doesn't play a lot, and he wasn't very good in 2019-2020. Was all right the season before that, but not so good the year before that. We're sort of on a seesaw trajectory here with Laurent Brossoit, and I don't think if a team is going to come after him in free agency that he's going to be thrust into a role where he ends up playing a whole bunch more. Like, it's probably he has established his value as a solid enough number two, but who's very clearly the number two. Toronto, David Rittich. I mean, I guess he's much more known for his play in Calgary, I suppose, given that he played all of four regular season games for the Maple Leafs. But you know, Rittich has been okay in the National Hockey League, and I think, you know, there was a point early in his time in Calgary where he might have had a shot to ascend into a bigger role. He played in 2019-2020, he played 48 games. So there was an opportunity there for him to, you know, do something to establish himself as a starter. But although he played 48 games, his results weren't great. And so I think he's sort of settled in that if he's going to be in the National Hockey League, he's going to be a backup, and we'll see whether or not there's enough interest in him in that role. And then we're really into questionable territory. There's Devan Dubnyk, who finished this season in Colorado, has obviously had some really good stretches in the National Hockey League. I think the one that probably stands out the most is in Minnesota. When he first came in there from Arizona, he was terrific. And then even beyond in the several years that he was their starting goaltender, put up some good numbers. But we're also, by the end of his stay in Minnesota and then into San Jose and into Colorado, the numbers have just continued to slide downwards. And so I think, you know, if a team is interested in Devan Dubnyk, it'll be very clearly as their backup, and very clearly at a discount price, because no one's going to be paying $4 million plus for Devan Dubnyk. Buffalo's Carter Hutton he had an opportunity when he signed in Buffalo to step in and be a number one goaltender. He had just come off a season where he had a .931 save percentage as the backup in St. Louis, and so here was his chance to step in and be a number one goaltender. And he played 50 games in that first season in Buffalo in 2018-2019, but had a .908 save percentage, which isn't great for your starter, and it hasn't gotten better since. And so, you know, now Hutton's in his mid-30s, there will probably be some question about whether or not he's going to find a spot when the music stops in the goaltending carousel this summer. Curtis McElhinney in Tampa Bay, another unrestricted free agent goaltender who know, he's 38 years old, and McElhinney's fit in and been a nice addition for Tampa Bay in their backup goaltending spot, because it's a position that doesn't require him to play a lot. He was pretty effective for them last season in that role. Not as effective this past season, but really, Tampa Bay is good enough that their backup goalie doesn't have a huge say in their results. And two, their starter is so good that they can really manage McElhinney's workload. And so, I guess the question will be whether or not Tampa Bay is ready to go for another year with McElhinney as their backup, or whether they look for an upgrade there. And then we've got some guys who are really kind of, on the very edges. Aaron Dell from New Jersey, ultimately. That's where he played 7 games this season and played poorly for the most part in those games. But also, not exactly running behind a star-laden team there either. But Dell had established himself as an adequate backup in San Jose in the 4 years before that. And so I wouldn't be surprised if another team is willing to give him a shot, at least as a number 3 goaltender who has a chance to move up, depending on the situation. But it certainly didn't go great for Aaron Dell in 2021. Jonas Johansson, he played 15 games this year between Buffalo and Colorado, and he's 25 years old, so I think there's probably some, value to giving him a spot as your number 3 and hoping that he could continue to develop. The interesting part of this for Johansson would be if Colorado was interested in keeping him around at a very reasonable price, whether the Avalanche would be willing to run Francouz and Johansson as their goaltending tandem, because they think the rest of their team is strong enough that they could do that. Maybe there's an opportunity there. And then we get Brian Elliott of the Philadelphia Flyers, who, Elliott is another goalie who's a little long in the tooth right now. He's 36 years old and probably had to play more this year than the Flyers would have liked, because Carter Hart collapsed, figuratively, not literally. And so Elliott's past couple of seasons have been fairly rough. And I think there's not going to be a real demand for him in the marketplace, given that, given his age, given his performance over the past few years. But it's also a guy who's played more than 500 games in the National Hockey League. It's been a nice career. But I also would not be surprised if that is the end of the line. So when we come back, we'll take a quick look at some teams' goaltending needs, and then we'll dig into Monday's semifinal action between Montreal and Vegas. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have 9 delicious flavors, plus they occasionally get limited time flavors as well. But you can count on them having coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. That's a great variety and something for everyone. My favorites are the peanut butter brownie and salted caramel. But if you haven't tried all those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar, where you get 2 of each of those 9 flavors. You can sample them and decide which ones you like best, and then order those. Not only are the Built Bars good for you, they have tons of protein, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs. They're also covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste great. It tastes like a snack, as opposed to you having to kind of force your way through a protein bar. And, for me, I started using Built Bars when I was going to an outdoor boot camp. Kind of leaned into the whole process by making Built Bar part of the post-workout routine, and gave my muscles a protein boost, and I think we've had some success overall. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA and the NHL are in their playoffs, there's PGA, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the puck drops, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Okay, so we whipped through the unrestricted free agent goaltenders. Now, there are some restricted free agent goaltenders this year, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot of movement there. Just an idea of who's going to be up for new contracts. We got the Rangers' Igor Shesterkin and the Islanders' Ilya Sorokin, both of them up for new deals. Nashville's UC Saros, likely looking at a pretty big raise as the Predators' new number one goaltender. Alex Nedeljkovic in Carolina. He's likely to be the Carolina's new number one goaltender, but and likely to get a raise. But I would also expect Carolina to make sure that he's getting a reasonably priced raise. His cap hit was $737,500, and maybe that goes up to a couple million on a multi-year deal. But I would not expect Carolina to sign a goaltender to a big money long-term deal. The Scott Darling sting still with them. Philadelphia's Carter Hart. I mean, that'll be a fascinating signing, coming off a disaster of a season for the Flyers. But obviously, if you're the Flyers and you count on Hart bouncing back, you're going to need to make some investment in him moving forward. Washington's Ilya Samsonov, who was supposed to step into the starter's role in the wake of Lundqvist's heart surgery, and it didn't quite work out that way. Arizona's Aiden Hill and Ottawa's Philip Gustafson are all possibilities who need new contracts. So then let's take a look. We've gone through the unrestricted and the restricted free agent goaltenders. Who are the teams that will need goaltenders? Well, Calgary probably needs a backup to Jacob Markstrom, so there's one. Edmonton, they're going to need a starter. I mean, Mike Smith is a free agent. They might need two goaltenders if they buy out Mikko Koskinen. So Edmonton is definitely going to be a team to watch. Toronto, they're going to need someone to play alongside Jack Campbell. Now, maybe Campbell is going to step in and be the number one. But if Campbell's the number one, Toronto is going to need at least a solid second string goaltender who can handle a significant workload. Because for as well as Campbell has played in Toronto, he does not have a real track record of handling a heavy workload, staying healthy, and continuing to play well. So that's up for discussion for the Maple Leafs. Winnipeg, they are looking at a backup for Connor Hellebuck, unless they call up prospect Mikael Burden, and he steps in to be the backup. And that might be the easiest path for Winnipeg to take in goal. Arizona, they might need a backup to Darcy Kemper if Aiden Hill gets claimed. Potentially, they might need a starter if they trade Darcy Kemper. I think that's Arizona's kind of up in the air. They had talked about trading Kemper last year, and with 1 year left on his deal, they certainly could try that again. Colorado would need a starter if Grubauer leaves. And a lot is probably going to depend on the status of Pavel Francouz, who missed all of this past season. If Francouz is, if cleared and healthy and they know he's going to be around, that gives Colorado a little bit more power in negotiations, that it wouldn't be the end of the world if Grubauer left. But I think in an ideal world for Colorado, they would run Grubauer and Francouz as their goaltending tandem. For Los Angeles, maybe they need a backup to Cal Peterson if they either buy out or trade Jonathan Quick. If they could find a way to get away from Jonathan Quick, it's probably worth their while. But if there is any kind of change in LA, probably expect that Cal Peterson is going to get a chance to start for them next season. For San Jose, they probably need a goaltender to pair with Martin Jones, or if they're willing to eat a bunch of money, they might need two goaltenders because, Martin Jones has been a drag on the Sharks for a while. And now that the rest of the team is playing poorly in front of him, that's they're fighting uphill. Vegas might need a backup if they decide they can't go into next season with Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner as their tandem. And, Fleury has one more year left on his deal, and that might make it seem as though Fleury is the one who's likely to move. But given that he's been their top goaltending option this season and in the playoffs, it might be a little difficult to to deal Marc-Andre Fleury. So keep an eye, I guess, on how Vegas intends to handle their tandem, because one way or another, they probably aren't going to have both Fleury and Leonard on the roster next season. Carolina, now it looks like Alex Nedeljkovic is going to be their starter, most likely. Then you need somebody to be a backup or at least share time with him. If Peter Mrazek and James Reimer leave as free agents, you're going to need somebody else to handle a fairly significant role, because we don't have enough of a sample of Nedeljkovic to be sure that he's great. Detroit, if Jonathan Bernier leaves, they'll need someone to pair with Thomas Greiss. Nashville, they might need a backup if Pekka Rinne retires. Tampa Bay, if Curtis McElhinney's done with them, they would need a backup, although a backup who I think most importantly would not cost a whole lot. Because Tampa Bay always jammed against the cap and even over it. But if they can save a few dollars on their backup goaltender, it's probably worthwhile, because they can count on Andrei Vasilevskiy to be A, to play a lot, but B, to play really well too. Boston, they probably need another goaltender. If Tuukka Rask is out having surgery, would the Bruins be prepared to go into next season with Jeremy Swayman and Daniel Vladar as their goaltending tandem? That might be a little risky, unless you figure that between the two of the young goaltenders and a healthier Tuukka Rask when he returns from hip surgery, that maybe you would have some decent opportunity by the midpoint of the season or the later stages of the season that your goaltending would be okay. But it might be a bit of a risky play for a team that would expect to be a contender. Buffalo probably needs two goaltenders. And so that makes the Sabres maybe as interesting as any team when it comes to what's going to happen in the offseason, because if Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton are moving on, Buffalo is going to be in a position to, to play in free agency, but you're going to have to convince some goaltender that, to come here and play behind a team that hasn't been very good for a few years. And they might be looking at more roster upheaval in the off season, and whether that's trading Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel or what kind of moves the Sabres might make. But in any case, when it comes to goaltending, I think the Sabres are probably looking at two new faces for next season. New Jersey, they probably need another backup for Mackenzie Blackwood. And I think last year when they made an attempt to go get a veteran guy like Corey Crawford, and that might have give you some idea what they would like to do coming into this season, because Crawford retired just before the season started, and you could see the Devils maybe trying to find another veteran who could handle a significant role alongside Blackwood, maybe playing more than the typical backup. Philadelphia, they probably need someone to pair with Carter Hart. And this, again, that has to be somebody who is going to be able to play quite a few games if Hart continues to have problems. I think the Flyers would have the expectation that Carter Hart is going to rebound and kind of get his career back on track. But what if he doesn't? You don't want your entire season to just be on the back of one player, especially a player who's coming off the worst season of his career. And then Pittsburgh, will the Penguins look for a new starter? Tristan Jarry didn't have a great performance in the playoffs for them, and given expectations for the Penguins, could they go into next season and just run Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith and not make any changes there? I would not be surprised if there are changes in Pittsburgh's goaltending situation. And then Seattle is obviously going to be an option. Would they be interested in claiming the likes of Anton Khudobin from Dallas or Jake Allen from Montreal, Aiden Hill from Arizona? There are lots of possibilities there, but I think that this summer is going to there's going to be a lot of action in terms of goaltenders and where they move, and that's going to have an impact for fantasy purposes, because These goaltenders who say decide to move into Buffalo, well, they may not have quite as much fantasy appeal next season as they might have before. And someone like Philip Grubauer, if he leaves Colorado, well, then he might not have as much fantasy appeal. It's going to depend on where he ends up. But I think it's going to be one of the more interesting off seasons for movement all around, but for goaltenders in particular. So now let's take a look at Monday's games on betonline.ag. And we have Vegas, -260 at home against the Montreal Canadiens. That's much more heavily favored than I would have Vegas against Montreal. And it's not as though I think Montreal should be able to go into Vegas and outplay them. Vegas playing against Colorado looked like a dramatically different sport than what Montreal had been playing against Winnipeg or Toronto. And so Montreal may get into this series and find out they need to ratchet things up in a hurry. But I still think -260 is a ton to pay when Carey Price is playing well for Montreal. And Montreal, may just be able to try and grind Vegas down and at least keep it close. I think if I had to make a pick on Monday's game, I might try Montreal plus a goal and a half. -125 on betonline.ag because my model has Vegas around -160. And so, yes, I think Vegas should be favored. I definitely do not think they should be -260 favored. And so that will do it for today. Enjoy the game. You can check out my work on The Athletic, McKean's Hockey, as well as scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We had our weekend takeaways in today's episode where we talked about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Michael Brantley and Aaron Civale and Jacob deGrom and lots more. So find these podcasts, subscribe, maybe drop in a 5-star rating on Apple. Check them out on Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, can the Clippers follow in the Bucks' footsteps? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Pay that man his money.